What we're doing on Cloak and Dagger is just speaking on behalf of the public record, going to what's been reported. It's been a shocking week. Of course, we had Alex Jones talking about 9/11, and we're going to continue tonight because it's very important to really spend a lot of time studying the importance of 9/11, especially with the anniversary coming up and who was behind it.
That's right. Now, I wanted to talk about that puppy they used in the news. I mentioned it a bit last week. It was very upsetting to me that everybody was buying into, those people in the Middle East are killing puppies and they're after us next. And I think that news story was a very slow news day, and people are lemmings if they believe that people all over the world, there are bad people in every country torturing animals, and there's no reason to go to war.
And Len Horowitz points out in documents in the public record where they were not only killing dogs, they were killing human beings.
Really?
Well, Len Horowitz last week talked about the use of human beings as guinea pigs in many of the viruses that were developed by Merck Pharmaceuticals and Etrog, and we heard Horowitz. He went to town. So we're not really taking anything on our... We're not doing anything that's dangerous. We're just taking material that's been published and written and it's in the documents and in the New York Times and just bringing it to people's attention.
Well, that's true, because as Alex Jones said a couple of weeks ago, we don't need to form anyone's opinion. You should form your own. Don't just have an opinion. Form an opinion. Go out there and look at things and look for information and come up with your own opinion.
Yeah, and I guess we're interested. Is Bob? I think it's time to get. Where's Bob?
Well, Bob will be coming up right after the first
Bloom show.
Right after the break, we'll have Bob Dobbs from his safe house in New York.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Let's go on while we're waiting to get Bob. So we've got Mike Rupert coming on, and he comes from a family of spies. His mom was a CIA agent. His family's been CIA.
I believe that Mike Rupert, but I always thought Mike Rupert was an actual LAPD officer.
That's true, and he was an LAPD officer, but he worked for the LAPD as an agent in the CIA. That was his cover. That's the job that they arranged
for him. Well, he did a good job. He fooled me.
Yeah, and he's coming on tonight, and he's the one who's putting his neck on the line, and so we honor him by bringing him on, because he's really been doing a magnificent job spreading Sam is that, as so to speak.
Listen, we have a breaking call coming in. Before we get to Bob after the break, we've got to go right over to Skolnick, because we have breaking news. Hello, Mr. Skolnick, are you with us?
Yeah, I want to mention briefly that a deal has been struck between the United States, Iraq, and France. They're going to pay, Saddam has agreed to take $200 billion to go into exile in Portugal. Oil is going to go up briefly in order to pay for this. That is, the common people in North America, Canada, and the United States are going to pay for this deal.
We're paying for Saddam to go away.
Right. And meanwhile, they got a general talking on a radio station here in Chicago, you know, about invasion and all that. I think it's all nonsense.
Well, once
again... They worked this deal, $200 billion. France, you know, has been X'd out of the Mideast since a little-known agreement in 1922. For 80 years, France has not had a foothold in the Mideast, and now they are going to have a foothold there. A three-way deal. U.S., the frogs, as they call the French... And
who calls them that? Who calls them frogs? I'm
The Limeys.
Oh, the Limeys call them the frogs. Okay.
And
as
the
long
frogs,
as we're all getting a piece of it, that's okay then.
Well, Saddam has not been well of late. At a recent public meeting there, he's not been well. He was installed, you understand, by the help of Daddy Bush, right after the time Daddy Bush was the head of the secret police here. They assassinated a predecessor of Saddam, and they installed him as the dictator in Baghdad. And there he's been since about 1977. So what is it? It's 25 years.
Sherman, I just want to just welcome you to the show, by the way, and just tell listeners that Sherman is one of the granddaddies of the researchers. He is so famous that the Federal Bureau of Investigation used his resource and research material as a detective in order to put Supreme Court judges of the state of Illinois not only off the bench, but in jail. Isn't that correct, Sherman?
More than 20 of them, right. Our work set off the thing. 20 judges and 40 lawyers were sent to jail for bribery because of our work. we don't mention that by way of exaggerating. It was hard work. We ran a considerable jeopardy, but it was accomplished. The point is, is this deal good for America? I don't know. I mean, Americans are going to pay, they're going to raise oil up to $32 or $35 a barrel so that common Americans and Canadians will pay for this deal to pay Saddam $200 billion to leave, to go into exile in Portugal.
It's probably a lot cheaper than just going and bombing the country and leaving him alone like they did last time, right?
A general was just on the radio here on a talk show in Chicago mentioning him and another guy were talking about a two-for-one deal. See, the military here is openly talking that they want to take out Saddam and the Saudi royal family. Did you see the story in the London Sunday Times that members of the Saudi royal family paid Osama bin Laden $200 million? But here with Saddam, we're talking about $200 billion. But here's the wild
thing. Now, where's that money coming from? What's happening?
We're paying.
Is that from Enron?
The money is going to come from charge from raising the price of oil and making us as common people of North America pay for it.
Okay, so this is another oil hoax, another Kissinger oil hoax?
Yeah, and the other thing is Israel is not in on the deal. Now, Israel tried to get in on the deal. Sharon traveled to Florida recently to meet with Jeb Bush. There were all kind of misleading cover stories, but Israel wants in on this deal. Do you see what I'm saying? Israel's got almost 80% unemployment, according to a published story. There's no travel business to speak of, and Israel is spending all their money on defense, and so they want in on this deal.
Now, Bob's on the line, by the way. Sorry, go ahead, Sherman.
Whether Israel is going to sour up the deal, the three major networks in the United States know about this deal, but don't hold your breath waiting for them to talk about it.
Bob Dobbs, welcome.
Welcome, Dito. Let me make something clear here. You're not speaking with me. I'm the host of the show. You may think you have to protect me. You don't have to do that. I'm the host.
You're the one who's safe and away. You are correct, sir.
No, I am the host. I'm not safe and away. I'm the host.
We are all in the service of Bob. We are all in the service of Bob.
Right, and we're not talking to someone out there, some audience. Everybody's inside us.
That's okay. Right. We are all in this together. It's all good.
And we're not dealing with a public record. Massman is not a public. We're talking about what is. There's no public anymore. Public is a figment of the newspaper literate age.
Okay, Bob, we're on radio, though, okay? This
and you're
is radio.
But you're doing good. I'm glad to get that right out of the gate. Let's make this clear.
Yeah, Bob, radio's unisensory, but with the addition of the Internet, doesn't that now make it multisensory as a technology?
And that's why we're inside everybody, and everybody's inside us.
And it tickles.
So mojoradio.com will allow you to get multisensory, but if you're on the 400, don't worry about that right now. So, Bob, we had a little problem getting to you. I thought that was interesting, but now you're on the line. Did you hear Skolnick?
Yes, I heard, and he's seeing a deflection from actual war action, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, I would supplement by saying that the financial area is going to create a crash so that it will throw the Pentagon off from having a Mideast war action. So my information parallels Skolnick's in the sense that there's going to be a big domestic crash of the economy so that this will throw off those who are planning the war.
Good stuff. Well, with that in mind, let's go to the secret war and the invisible government, because we've got Mike Rupert, Bob, and he's going to talk and brief us, and he's a CIA agent, and he's going to have some interesting things to talk to you about.
I am?
We've got Mike on the line right now. Hello, Mike Rupert.
Hi. I didn't know I was a CIA agent. It was so secret, nobody ever told me.
Yeah, but your slideshow, no one looked at that.
Yeah, but I've never worked for those guys. Please don't do that to me.
You just were offered to work for them.
Oh, okay. How much money is in it?
Right. Now, that's 25 years ago. You were offered and you turned it down, correct?
That's correct, but you said I was a CIA agent. I've never taken a penny from those guys, and I never will.
No, I never said that. One of my lackeys, Lenny, said it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but at your slideshow, lackey Lenny, what were the slides there, Mike? Like your background?
I'm former LAPD.
Right. And
but my mother had been a cryptographer, cryptanalyst for the National Security Agency, Army Security Agency.
Right.
And relatives of my father were career at CIA, and my father worked on CIA projects for Martin Marietta. The agency tried to recruit me twice, but I never went to work for them.
Good. Yes. That's why we love you.
Yeah.
Well, Lenny's always learning, Mike, so he got that wrong, I think.
There we go. Point taken in a big way.
Yeah.
Rhetorical, Bob.
Now, Mike, I have seen your video, and I'm up to date on that. I monitor your website. Is there some new news that you'd like to tell us, or do we go back and review what you've said?
Oh, there's lots and lots of new news, and I have to disagree with a couple of previous comments I heard. The war in Iraq is a foregone conclusion, and we have a map on our website now, and we've documented more than 105, probably closer to 120,000 troops that are already deployed, some in secret, past the point of no return. There will be an invasion of Iraq. Nothing can stop it.
Sleepers?
Not sleepers. We have we've documented now. As a matter of fact, I just interviewed last week someone who came back from Jordan. We've got other press reports confirming 4,000 to 6,000 American troops in Jordan. Special forces, along with 5,000 Turkish troops, have already occupied an air base in northern Iraq.
Wow.
There's about 25,000 to 30,000 troops just in Qatar alone, not to mention Kuwait, another 10,000 or 15,000. The country is totally surrounded. The 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force is gone. We've just finished major war games in Southern California. That's a total shakeout. We have identified the units that will be the so-called door kickers in the invasion. They're too far forward deployed now to not invade Iraq, and I'm predicting it'll happen certainly well before the November election. I'm thinking late September, maybe in October.
Well, if they headed the team off, what other place would they throw them at?
You can't head. Well, Saudi Arabia now is the other big story that we have broken recently. Saudi Arabia is on the verge of a civil war. We've covered some very low-key press reports showing that 3 Saudi princes have been killed or died under mysterious circumstances within 8 days of each other. Prince Abdullah, the crown prince, and Prince Sultan are at each other's throats. One controls the army, the other controls the National Guard. It's a teetering kingdom that's having a huge financial crisis. The price of oil now at 30 a barrel saves them, but what Saudi Arabia knows is that a quick U.S. military victory in Iraq, and it will be quick, believe it or not, will allow the U.S. to turn on Iraqi oil production to flood the market with oil, which will crash the oil price, save the U.S. economy, but it'll destroy Saudi Arabia.
We have Agent 33 in the studio. Hello, Agent 33. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good. So I have to say, for those of you who would like to see Agent 33, you can go to the website, mojoradio.com. You've got a lot of sun. You have a nice tan. It looks like you've been in the sun. Have you been hanging out and relaxing or what?
I'm not allowed to tell you that. Sorry.
Okay. Well, then that you're a good spy. All right. Let's get back to the real thing here. We've got Bob Dobbs on the line. We've got Lenny Bloom in the studio, and we have Mike Rupert here. Lenny, over to you.
Hey, it's great to join everybody, and I think that as you're listening, if you're interested in a lot of what's going on and you're interested in the footnotes, the mojoradio.com site has the Cloak and Dagger link, and that gets you into all the past shows, which will slowly be put up by Sleeper, and I know we'd like to get Sleeper on the line at some point later.
Yes,
on
we will
to get our
that.
Cyberspace report.
You know what I find is amazing, Lenny, is that now we had Skolnick on with a quick report, but then Mike Rupert, who's with us right now, has the opposite information, and I do actually, you know, it sounds pretty
it's
scary
exciting,
to me.
Exciting.
Yes, it's exciting news. Of course, I'm afraid, and you love it because you're a danger cat.
That's right.
Mike Rupert.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit more about, you know, where does this information come from? Like, you seem to be incredibly in with this.
Well, I've been at this for 25 years and been publishing my newsletter From the Wilderness now for almost 5, and we're read by 30 members of Congress, and I have lots of really good sources. We have a great article coming out in our next issue by Stan Goff, who is a retired master sergeant from Special Forces who taught military science at West Point. And I've had researchers combing through overt records, websites, published sources for about a month, identifying which military units have been deployed. And we list those in a story that's up on the website now at FromTheWilderness.com, and what we see is a couple of things that are extremely compelling. As Scott Ritter recently mentioned, the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force, which is about 20,000 Marines from California, has been told they will be in a war in October. Scott Ritter wrote about that, or spoke about that. We've also identified that there was a just recently completed monstrous military war game down here in Southern California at Fort Irwin, involving about 13,500 crack troops on the ground, plus units from all services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Flying Support, Combat, Air Assault, everything else. And it was an armored exercise in desert camouflage. On the website for the particular war game, they had a little map in the background, and we blew it up, and it turned out to be a map of Basra in Iraq. And the units involved were the 101st, the 82nd, the 75th Rangers, the 2nd Combat Team of the, excuse me, the 25th Combat Team of the 2nd Infantry Division at Fort Lewis, Washington, with new Stryker assault vehicles.
So everybody's being deployed. Let's get to it. We're on radio.
Let's go over to Leon. Hello, Leon. Thank you for holding.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Leon.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to ask you if any of you are familiar with the story that's floating around on the internet about a website name, Saudi-binladen-group.com, that was registered on September 1st, 2000 and expired September 11th, 2001.
Not aware of it.
I have heard that briefly mentioned, yeah, and I saw a report on that in passing. I don't know what to make of it, though. That's a very circumstantial little point. But, you know,
It shows that it was registered to an address in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, that it was set up by a company in Bath, in England, and
But it doesn't prove anything. I'm a former detective, and just because a website happened to expire on the 11th, although it's very interesting, is not proof of anything. You know,
no, just a strange coincidence, I think.
Yeah, that's synchrony, right, Bob Dobbs?
Well, it's synchronicity.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Not synchrony. It's a coincidence.
All right.
Oh, he goes back and forth.
Thank you for your call, Leon.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right, let's go over to Purple in Mississauga. Hello, Purple.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good.
I got three questions. Number one, concerning your guest.
I can't hear.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. The last time the Americans had their venture in the Middle East, they got the Germans, the Japanese, and the Arab state to pay for it. They're already finding spiraling costs from World Trade Center bombing, not to mention the growing debt, the sinking dollar. And, of course, they'll have to occupy this fractious country with at least 75,000 troops. Maybe the ends justify the means, but I think Old Glory's imperial stretch is just about at its limits. Secondly, can you tell me what had happened to the story about the troops that were sent into the old Soviet Republic, into the state of, not Georgia, but the
Georgia,
Republic
yeah,
of Georgia?
They're still there.
And does anyone out there think that it was too convenient that all those tapes arrived in the lap of one reporter at CNN? And do they really look as sophisticated an organization as we're led to believe? And what put me off the whole thing was the cute little yellow dog there. It just looked too like they're trying to pull a few buttons.
Go ahead, Mike. Okay, I couldn't hear all the last part, but right up front, everybody needs to understand that what's happening is the world is running out of oil, period. There ain't much more. We've passed the peak in world production. There's only, there's going to be more and more battles over less and less oil. The ultimate enemy in the end game is China, but that's not the enemy now. In order to save the U.S. economy, nobody wants to tank the U.S. economy, and even tanking the U.S. economy will not prevent a war. That will provoke a war even faster. We've always solved economic failures by going to war. The troops are already committed. Yes, they're still in Georgia. There are only two countries in the world who have not, between Saudi Arabia and Iraq, that is 36% of the oil on the planet. And those two countries are the only ones right now who can turn on the tap to lower oil prices to save the U.S. economy. They're not ready for it to collapse yet, although I'm convinced it's going to happen. But that's not going to happen as a way of preventing any conflict. That's nonsense. We're too far forward deployed with troops that are already committed. You can't call these dogs of war back. If you do, there will be a coup in this country for having put the military that far out.
Another one of those?
Yeah, well.
Another one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
We've got to keep track
of them all now.
Yeah, no, I've
been a bunch.
Now, Mike, the other point was about the dog and the Al-Qaeda's poison gas or whatever. They weren't sure what it was.
Oh, well, look, Kurdistan, you know, that's really strange because Kurdistan, you know, is an area that is in Iraq, Syria, Turkey, and Iran. And the Kurds have been fighting for their own homeland for about 70 years. They've been CIA assets since Second World War. We now have troops in northern Iraq occupying an airbase, but it's in Kurdish-controlled territory. But these are troops also that cannot be left there for months at a time. They have to be used. Believe me, all the troops that are deployed in Georgia, and we have a map on the website at fromthewilderness.com that shows all the deployments of the troops, and what you see is that Iran is totally surrounded, and so is Iraq. But when we occupy Iraq, then Iran is just 360 degrees. There's U.S. troops on every side of it, and Iran knows what's coming.
And where's Iran and Iraq getting their intelligence on this, do you think?
What do you mean their intelligence?
Well, Iraq? Like, would they have access to knowledge as to where the troops are?
Of course they would.
And how would they know that?
They read the papers.
What would be their sources?
They read the papers.
I guess they go onto your website and find out.
Well, or anybody's website. I mean, I'm getting it from overt sources like anybody else's. I'm not tapping into any classified files.
That's right. Well, that's a good point.
The open conspiracy.
That's a good point, Mike, because if people go to mojoradio.com, they go to the right side of the screen and they click on Cloak and Dagger, we're going to have a link to your website, and people, basically, all this information is out there. You're right, it's out there. People can find it. They have to look.
Now, what's very important to understand is that Iran knows what's happening. And Iran just recently said, hey, wait a minute, we think we're going to no longer price our oil in dollars. We think we'll price our oil in euros. Iran knows
what's coming.
But if OPEC switches to the euro, the U.S. economy is toast.
Absolutely.
The way that we have enforced our imperial hegemony around the world is by use of the petrodollar, the U.S. dollar,
right,
which is the reserve currency. And if that comes to pass, that's why everybody's watching what's happening in Saudi Arabia so closely. We just had a report from the Financial Times after this $1 trillion lawsuit, which I firmly believe was provocation. All the lawyers behind the lawsuit against Saudi Arabia are extremely well-connected political guys. One of them is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. They knew what they were doing. So the Saudis got really ticked off. Then the Financial Times wrote a story saying that Saudis had pulled $200 billion out of the U.S. economy. Now they're denying it. Well, there's a couple of nuances to that that most people don't get. The Saudis could pull the plug on the U.S. economy in a heartbeat. Prince Al-Waleed alone is the single largest stockholder in Citigroup. He owns $10 billion worth of Citigroup stock. He just bought $500 million worth of stock to bail the bank out a couple of months ago. He's the second largest shareholder in News Corp, that's Fox, behind Rupert Murdoch.
Let's go right over to Buck in Buckstown. Buck, how are you? Thank you for calling.
Great. How are you doing today?
Very good.
I just want to say right off the bat that full courage is absolutely inspiring to me. I use it every day just to get through life and stuff like that. His level of commitment is something else and to be revered by everyone else, I think. My question is does he have any inspiring words for us tonight? What can we do as Canadians to basically try and avert this imminent danger that the U.S. is steering us towards, namely through control of our economy and stuff? And could he also comment on the possibility of hemp, namely cannabis, being an alternative, economic alternative for Canada, and that we don't have to hold on to other states and just keep staying with them?
Okay, we'll go to Mike and Bob for that. Mike, how about you first?
Okay, thanks. I think it's really pretty far gone at this point. I don't know what much can be done. I mean, we just saw in Portland, Oregon, I don't know if you guys heard about it up there, this last week, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, that George W. was up there, and about 4,000 people turned out. Of course, the media said it was 300, but they were fired on with pepper spray and rubber bullets, and they were totally peaceful. They're the only people who are doing anything right now that I can see that might have any effect. I mean, that's what it's going to take. We are long past the point. These guys are moving at breakneck speed. They've committed us to the war in Iraq, and I certainly believe that what will happen ultimately is that the governments of Europe and Canada will be presented with a choice. We're going to give you cheap oil and save the economy, and you're going to do whatever we tell you to do. And I think ultimately the American people, and I think sadly most of the people in Western Europe and Canada, will say, kill whoever you want to, just save our way of life.
Mike, what about all the reports about the African oil and the ability to bring African oil to America right offshore? Offshore Africa, there's oil, and they're able to then take it right out of the ocean floor and put it on ships and take it to America. What about those reports?
Well, there's two separate problems with that. First of all, just because it's there doesn't mean you can bring it to America tomorrow. It takes years to develop an oil field, to build the oil rigs and the platforms. Just like Central Asia, that's one of the reasons why we allowed the attacks of 9/11 to happen. The Tengiz fields and all the major fields in Kazakhstan and around the Caspian Basin are all being developed now. The pipeline contracts are being signed, but it takes years to build those pipelines. But in the long run, these discoveries are drops in the bucket compared to what remains in Saudi Arabia and Iraq. These are short-term solutions. They will not last for more than a few months or a few years. They are a means of diversifying the risk that's involved. There are no magic bullets. The world is going to run out of oil, and oil is not just what you put in your car. It's food. That's where pesticides come from. Natural gas is where fertilizers come from. Without oil, food doesn't get processed or brought to market, and it's 90% of all plastics.
But the bulk of our electricity is generated by coal. The fuel for the is basically so we can run around in our cars, right?
Well, no, natural gas is has far surpassed coal as a producer, and of course, I'm aware, and I think you are too, that by law now Canada has to give us all. You have to give us all of your natural gas when we want it.
That is true, yeah. Bob Dobbs, I wanted to ask you a quick question. Our last caller was asking, what can Canadians do to waver or to kind of separate themselves from American politics? That was kind of the underlying question. You're in New York. Do you have any advice for him?
No, I don't think he can do anything. I think we have to wait till the smoke clears. And I want to ask Mike, are you seeing that they will eventually go after Syria and the other countries around there, according to Ralph Shulman, the 48-2, is the term he uses, set up by a plan set up by Odom Yudin back in the 70s. The plan is to expand Israel as far as to Egypt in the west and as far as most of Iraq. Do you see that as part of the extension of the U.S. empire?
Well, not necessarily the U.S. empire. I don't think that the U.S. empire is truly global yet. Israel is extremely powerful, and to use the correct, precise historical definition, Zionism, which was originally defined by a Jew named Herzog in the last century, was the right to a Jewish state based upon a sole religion that would be expansionist. And I certainly think we're seeing that. Look, Jordan is a U.S. military protectorate. I know there are 6,000 troops there now, period. I mean, it's been confirmed in a number of press stories. I just spoke with a relief worker who just returned. She said, yeah, I saw the armored personnel carriers, the medical teams, they're all in Jordan. In addition, in Syria, for those of you who have access to commercial satellite photography, there is a whole city in the desert that's not on any map, and the coordinates are 34 degrees 30 minutes north and 39-30 east longitude, it's right there on the map, 34-30, 39-30, you look at it, it's not on any map. So Syria, I think, has possibly been co-opted as well. There is a large game at play here, and I don't think the rest of the world has even a clue about what's going to break loose in the next month or two.
We are rocking right now. We've got so many phone calls. I think we've got to go right now, Mike Rubert, we're going to go right now to Thornhill and talk to Ruth. Ruth, thank you for holding.
Hi, that's okay. What's 20 minutes on a cell phone? I just wanted to, you guys commented on it a little bit. Don't you think that there's the possibility of negative consequences and maybe even a little bit of irresponsibility in having troop deployments and, we're going to go to war in October on a website that anybody can click on?
Well, again, this is what this show is for, is to actually let people know what's coming down the pike, or at least to encourage them to look it up.
The Cloak and Dagger is the open conspiracy show. It's sort of in a H.G. Wells genre. It's all out there for you to see.
Well, it sounds like she's asking if if I'm afraid that that maybe some American boys are going to get hurt because I'm publicizing the and I've analyzed the overt information on troop deployments.
Exactly.
The answer is look, my country is about to engage in a totally illegal, immoral invasion for no other reason than for oil. I am ashamed of my government. I am ashamed of the way it's acting. I do not endorse these moves. I would not have endorsed Adolf Hitler's occupation of Poland in 1939.
Right.
That's the position of analogy.
No, it's not. That's exactly the way we're behaving.
Well, that's your perspective on how you're behaving, but meanwhile, your country's at war or about to go to war, and you're broadcasting troop deployments.
But these aren't things that aren't available to people.
My obligation as a journalist. The people, under my constitution in this country, an act of war approved by the Congress after debate, and we have no constitution hardly left in this country. This is a criminal regime that has occupied the White House. It is breaking laws left and right. It has violated all of our civil liberties, and it is behaving in a criminal manner. There's only one way to deal with that. You have to expose it and put it in the light.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's a great point. Now let's go over to George. George, thank you for calling.
And another point, too. Rewatch JFK, and LBJ isn't in charge of that nice Brown and Root company. It's
right.
Dick Cheney. So there's a lot of money to be made by some people in power. And you'll also know, too, if you go on to GeoCities, you can see the plan for Greater Israel. It's called Operation Shekinah. And it follows the top line and pretty much takes out most of Iraq, northern Saudi, Kuwait, a little bit of Syria, Jordan, and all the oil. But that's not why I called.
George, that's very good. Thank you for calling. And now what's your question? That's great.
Well, what my comment was about is, was your guest familiar with a California history professor named Catherine Olmsted? She's been working in the Gerald Ford Library. She came across some very interesting documents signed by Dick Cheney and Mr. Rumsfeld when they worked in the Ford administration about the death of a Frank Olson. He died in 1953.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, it would be Gerald Ford, the Warren Commissioner member.
Yeah.
Mike, you aware of that document?
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with the case. I've been familiar with that for a long time. The CIA killed this research scientist back in, I think it was, 53.
Correct.
They were doing LSD research.
For MKUltra.
And he uncovered a lot of stuff about MKUltra and mind control, and they threw him out a window.
So these documents imply how the U.S. government is going to cover up his death and make a cash settlement with his family for national security reasons. So I get the feeling that was primarily what was behind the little puppy dog stuff. They had to pull a big one because a lot of the big guns got exposed by the research from this professor. And it was put out by Gordon Thomas. It was on American Freedom News' website. But I get the feeling that was the real reason behind the story. It had nothing to do with the fact that, to drum up support for the war or anything like that. They were covering up for the big boys.
Great. Thank you very much for your call. Brilliant. Okay, let's go over to Peter in Niagara Falls. Peter.
Hi, guys. I'd just like to say the world needs more Don Quixotes like Michael Rupert. I thought of another question in addition to the one that I originally called in about, so I'll make it very quick. What do you see as the possibility of the next, I'm thinking, hedging my bet on the next major terrorist attack in America, possibly being the destruction of the stock exchange building itself,
I don't see that at all. I don't see any terrorist attacks likely now because we have committed to the war move. I'm firmly convinced, based upon the last year of research, that all major terrorist operations in this country were compromised, had been compromised for some time, had been penetrated, and that the only reason we were going to have another major terrorist attack would have been if Bush got into political hot water. But he's clearly now made a decision by committing to this war in Iraq to distract and deflect and to occupy the whole planet with the invasion of Iraq, and probably by January of next year, if not sooner, after a major stock market crash, the price of oil dropping for a short period of time to the $15 to $18 range, which will serve as an imperial subsidy for the U.S. and Western economies until that oil starts to run out, and we've only got maybe another 10-12 years before those guys reach the peak of their capacities as well.
We got something over the internet. Would you please read this for Mike Rupert?
I have a question from Buzzard from Buffalo. The question is it true that Rudy Giuliani got rid of evidence that the Twin Towers came down by explosives within the building?
I have no knowledge of that. And that's one topic that I have assiduously and persistently refused to get involved with. It's a no-win debate. And while we're sinking into a fascist regime and the world's on the brink of Armageddon, to me that's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. So I've decided not to look at anything about the collapse of the towers. It's irrelevant to me.
But you'd have no problem going and figuring that that would be a default condition to keep in mind given Oklahoma, wouldn't you?
It's possible. All I'm saying is that I've been working 100-hour weeks for a year now, and my time is extremely precious. And to enter into a no-win debate that could go on for as long as the JFK assassination stuff has gone on that doesn't do anything to change world events is lunacy, in my opinion.
That's right. We've got to move on and talk about things that are happening right now. Here's Tank from Etobicoke. Tank, thank you for calling.
Hi. My question is for Mike, actually, regarding this oncoming invasion, actually. Just calling with the invasion, there's obviously going to be maybe possible retaliation. Do you see the retaliation going into something bigger where you might have a possible clash of civilizations or possible something like that? You know, because there are a lot of fundamentalist Zionist, environmentalist Christians that are trying to usher something into a new direct new age. So I'm just wondering, what's your opinion on that, actually?
Okay, well, this is an incredibly perilous time. First of all, Saddam Hussein's army is nothing. It is a shadow of what it was in 1991. They've had no-fly zones over 50% of the territory for 10 years. It's rusted out equipment, low morale. We will do massive airdrops to seize 4 or 5 major airfields around Baghdad, and we'll create airheads is what they're called, which will flood with troops. Armor will move up from the north. That war will be over quickly. But Saudi Arabia will probably explode at the same time because there are large numbers of people supportive of al-Qaeda or just opposed to U.S. Presence in the region. King Fahd's about to die. This will incite, if you will, and I think we'll have to move on Saudi Arabia probably simultaneously because King Fahd is on his deathbed in Spain right now. He's reported to be on life support. So when Saudi goes, then this becomes, in essence, and I've spoken to high-level oil executives from major oil companies, this becomes a genocidal war to kill all Muslims.
Mike, who's knocking off the 7 Saudi princes?
The 3 Saudi princes,
no,
not 7.
No, 7. I understand we're getting reports at 7.
Oh, I haven't seen any reports.
Now it's
7.
Reports. The new Penn Jones update.
Okay, well, I would love to see those news stories from credible sources. Who knows? But Baron, you have 2 factions. You have Prince Abdullah, the Crown Prince, and Prince Sultan. They are opposed to each other. One controls the army, the other controls the National Guard. Neither one of them is particularly fond of al-Qaeda. Everybody in Saudi Arabia hates the regime because it's corrupt. But there was a Saudi dissident recently on Australian TV saying that the plan was to divide Saudi Arabia into 3 separate kingdoms, the oils in the east, which would go under U.S. control. Mecca and Medina, the 2 holiest cities in all of Islam, are in the west. But there's a wild card here that I just turned up, that there have been major gold discoveries in western Saudi Arabia, and the world is getting ready to move toward gold and away from the dollar. There's a huge energy. So some of the information has come out of Canada. So Allah may get the last laugh as far as the gold is concerned. But when you engage, if you occupy Iraq and Saudi Arabia, all of Islam will rise up. And the largest Islamic populations in the world are in Malaysia and Indonesia. That's right next to the Philippines, and that is conveniently where we have also been basing troops.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go over to Bill in North York. Thank you for holding.
Oh, hi.
I have a question, yes.
Yeah, it just crossed my mind when you mentioned the gold reserves in western Saudi Arabia that, my God, this is the Goldfinger scenario I'm thinking of when they, I guess this is ludicrous or not, if anyone tried to contaminate oil supplies with low-grade or even contamination, uranium, I'm thinking of radioactivity. I just wanted to hear your expert opinion on that.
Well, this is gold that has not yet been mined. This is not gold that's out of the ground. This is recent discoveries thanks to GIS satellite imagery, okay, that has discovered what may be the largest unmined amounts of gold in the world in western Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And gold is about ready to explode in price. I mean, they've been trying to sit on that bubble for a long time. So, I mean, this is an incredibly complex situation, but the cowboys have committed us to this active war. And you see, when I was talking about the troops before, the lady who I was talking to didn't understand that what I'm reporting is known all over the rest of the world, where the U.S. troops are all throughout the region.
Yeah, the federal government's in the middle.
Okay. That's right.
What you mean is what you mean basically, Mike, is the military of the nations and the federal government knows it, but the people don't know it.
All people don't.
That's right. Just like with Pearl Harbor, the federal government, U.S. federal government, and the U.S. military knew there was an attack coming. The people didn't know it. And that's what you mean.
Right, and that's exactly like right before September the 11th. Stories had been running throughout July and August of 2001 in papers in Pakistan and India and throughout the region that the U.S. was going to attack the Al-Qaeda in October. They had the military information all throughout the region. We did not have it here in the U.S.
Great, great stuff.
All right, we have. Did you have one more question, caller?
Just to follow up on that, I don't think you got my point exactly. Is it possible to really mess with the U.S. economy and Western economies by trying to contaminate oil supplies with something?
I've never heard of that.
Radioactivity.
I've never heard of that.
Okay.
The human race depends upon oil. Nobody's going to mess with something that everybody needs.
All right. Well, we have somebody. Oh, I think somebody. And then you got to close your car door, sir. Close your car door.
We've got a lot of oil in the car sand here. And, Bob, I think we should send Joe Clark to head this whole problem off.
Yeah, I think we've got Stefan on the phone. Are you there, Stefan?
Yes, I am.
All right. You closed the door of your car.
Yeah, it's closed. I just want to say, I work for GM, and, I've noticed, some of our future cars that are going to be coming out in the next 5 to 6 years are not going to be running on gas or oil. They're not going to need any of these products at all. And I'm just wondering, is the government going to try and stop this from happening because of, their need for oil and their need for money? Or are they going to let these big car manufacturers come out with these cars that don't need any of these products?
Well, right, my group.
Okay, the conversion that should have been taking place away from petroleum products should have begun 15, 20 years ago. Whatever is happening now is too little too late in terms of the numbers. China's demand for oil is expanding exponentially while the world's already on the downslope of production. And even if you take the oil and gas out of the car, let's say you run a car on electricity, what generates the electricity? Well, if you generate it with natural gas or oil, you're not solving any problem. All you do is switching it. Oil is a primary source of energy. Whatever that provides the motive power for vehicles must be a primary source of energy. And I read a great review from a guy in Detroit who was driving an electric car. He said, I loved it, and I knew it didn't put out any smog at all, but then I realized all the smog that my car wasn't putting out was being put out by the power generating station that was burning natural gas.
So, Mike, how involved now is our Busto Energy? How involved is it in this whole...
Busto's no longer in business, I don't think. Carson is still around, but I don't know where Busto is anymore.
And we have now on the phone Video Dave. Video Dave from Queen Video. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Greetings, gentlemen.
And Agent 33.
And Agent 33. How are you?
Good.
Now, boom, let's talk about The Godfather. Let's run the clip first, and then I'm going to lead. So let's get to that clip if we can, if we got it ready.
This is the first Godfather film.
This is the first installment.
And before we do it, we should point out at mojoradio.com, you can click on Cloak and Dagger.
That's right. Go to mojoradio.com.
You can go to themedianews.com. And at themedianews.com, you scroll down to the grammars of movies, and you can actually see the clip that we're going to run now. So we're multi-sensory here.
Exactly.
That's right.
As well as many other clips that we provided in previous shows, too.
Yeah.
So everything we've discussed on the Video Dave segment is accessible on the medianews.com website via
And you should go to see Video Dave in his store and get the out and see the whole movies.
Why not? Now, Video Dave, tell me about the... we're going
to
hear the
clip. We're going to go to
the clip. Let's do the clip right now. Here we go.
I'm working for my father now, okay?
He's been sick. Very sick.
But you're not like him, Michael. I thought you weren't going to become a man like your father. But you told me.
My father's no different than any other powerful man. Any man who's responsible for other people. Like a senator or a president.
Do you know how naive you sound?
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Oh. Who's being naive, Kay?
I love that.
That's right. That's a really effective clip. I mean, if you escape the fact that, I mean, you get over the fact that there's they're monotone voices. I mean, there's a real message there. Now, Lenny, the original Godfather film is now 30 years old as of March 15th this year, and its political message still resonates today, obviously. Now, the film's primary surface message is that absolute power corrupts absolutely. But besides the mafia's role in the assassination of JFK, where have we seen or not seen the underworkings of organized crime in association with unorganized governments?
Well, if you say the mafia was involved in JFK's assassination, you've got to use a small M, sort of like Thugs Mafia, not the old Sicilian mafia. But,
right.
But the thing is, they're using, in the film, they're trying to give you a view of all the different mafias, but they're using this one, which is more culturally known, in order to make the point. Of course, the thugs move through cultures and the original mafia bought the respectability and disappeared, and like everything else. So it's a great film in that it shows a lot of these things in this clip, and the naivete about the Godfather saying, Michael says he's the Godfather, he inherits the mantle of the Godfather, and he says, of course, presidents and senators are hiring us to get people killed, and that's what the JFK assassination is so much about, of how these powerful aristocracies hire the mafia, which is why Kennedy's and that group were all connected with Giancana and Roselli and the whole thing.
So, right. Comments from Bob Dobbs on the movie The Godfather.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think by the 70s, Hollywood was an obsolete medium, and it was celebrating its own history. I would say that the mafia was created by Hollywood, because the old industrial hardware cities and towns and counties that were sitting in the boundaries of the United States had to be run by some organization that wasn't limited to visual printed documents rules, and that's the oral bonding of the mafia. They took over the cities and the old hardware industries as we moved into a radio, television, computer, satellite environment, where the recombinant commodity, to quote Arthur Croker, where the virtual commodity took over. That's information. And information was what was really controlling people. And people were hypnotized and living in the software environment. They had no time to pick up the garbage, to run the docks. And so those unions were infiltrated and organized by the hardware congressional structures, and the mafia was ready to be the employees of that structure. The mafia was created by Hollywood, the structure of movie as an environment.
And so, Bob, you'd call that software communism.
Yes, software communism was what people were really controlled by. Call it advertising, MKUltra, and mind control. And the old hardware structures had to be taken up by the new immigrant cultures who weren't too familiar with the software dimensions of our society, and they took over the old garbage cities.
Oh, Bob, you're getting waxing very highbrow this evening.
That's pretty highbrow, I must say. Bob, come on. I mean, Hollywood created the mafia. I mean, where else have we seen this organized element created by the Hollywood system? Do you know what I mean by Hollywood? I said the software environment of movies. When movies and radio came in the 20s, that's when we moved. That's when the hardware economy collapsed in 1929. Money became public property in the 30s. The managers took over it, and the managers then gave money to everybody. We had the welfare state, and then we moved into the consequences of TV and computers and satellites. The old hardware cities. I live here in New York. It's a garbage dump. New York is run locally by the hardware gangs because it's an obsolete city. We, as a civilization, do not live in the hardware cities.
So the managers are pulling the strings.
Yes, and the managers are obsolete. The Android meme took over. The Android meme took over in the 60s.
It's funny how it all comes back to the Android meme.
Yeah, hey, Bob, I would like somebody other than the Android meme.
No, we're coming back. We're going to, Video Dave, we'd like you to hold on for another segment.
Well, does Dave understand what I mean by Hollywood?
Yes, I've got a grasp of what you're trying to say.
Think of the mixed corporate media. The real wealth is in information exchange itself, not in money, not in books and accounting. The congressional structure, old hardware, 19th century institutions, they are involved with the mafia because they run the hardware cities. They represent United States citizens. The problem is the United States citizens are not in the United States. They are discounted in this resonating Android meme environment that we're part of right now and hogging the content of. And we're inside it, and it's inside us. So the old congressional leaders, people complain about politics. The politicians look meaner, stupider, and crummy, and don't have any sense of relevance to the stylistics of people's lives today because they are involved in organizing the structure of old hardware environments. And that's why they're so riddled by mafia. So that the Kennedy assassination was a turf war. And why did some turf people, turf managers get threatened by Kennedy? Because he was so powerful in the TV medium that the local populations in Congress and the other structures of industrial management were threatened by the power. They were totally hypnotized by the effect of television.
Okay, well, Bob, we've seen it with JFK. Everybody knows that. That's the paramount. That's the cherry on the cake there. But where has this happened before? There has to be another example.
What's that got to do, Bob, with the fact that ABC, NBC, CBS were all owned by Rockefeller?
Right. Which was, where was Rockefeller? He gave up his money in the 20s and 30s. The managers took over. But where did money go? It went into information. Rockefeller's involved as a tech-fed manager in organizing the paradigm. And the paradigm is, you people still live in the United States. Those Canadians still live there. Those Saudi Arabians are over there. They keep telling you there are nations and countries. Remember Network in 1976? There are no nations. There are no people. This is what the Tetrad manager, who bypasses the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the Nazis, and the Bolsheviks, which got starved in the 50s and then had to work with the mafia. Why does Licio Gelli from the Pre-2 Society and part of the Opus Dei Jesuit network in the Vatican caught with trading with mafia? Because that's what they're left to deal with, the old dregs and leftovers.
All right.
Rockefeller does not manage the United States.
It's long before it's understood, Bob.
Gentlemen, I just got something straight off the wire.
Okay.
Breaking news.
We need your final thoughts.
Okay.
Go to break.
Listen, as September 11th draws near, many movie fans are going to be wondering what sort of acknowledgments theater chains will make to commemorate the anniversary. Here's the answer, gentlemen. From August 30th to September 11th, Regal, Edwards, and United Artists, they're very big chains, cinema chains, will be screening a pre-show public service announcement. Now, it's going to be titled The United Day of Service. The short film aims to inspire youth to perform an act of community service on September 11th rather than focus on the atrocities of the infamous day. But the controversy has already started and has clouded over this short film, and I'll tell you why. Insiders are implying that the film's director, Hamad H. Zaidi, a Pakistani-born Muslim, has been pressured by unknown sources to include subliminal anti-Muslim messages within the core of the film. And already, many political Muslim groups have begun to lobby against the release of it. And that's the breaking news.
Now, David, that's congressional work. Remember how Clinton was considered the Hollywood president? Congress and Hollywood, the content, the national content industries, are interested in programming kids to distract them from the fact they aren't Americans, that they live in this digital space and totally resonating with me and every one of us.
Exactly.
That is what's ignored.
Yeah, I think we should go back to 9/11 and ask Bob. I've got the Emory site up, and there's some really interesting things there, and I don't know if you want to just start with that, because I throw it at you and you'd comment on it.
Well, I found it very interesting. I was talking to Mike Rupert in between during the break.
Yeah.
The way the phones are hooked up, we're interrupted by the commercials, but we can talk to each other. And I brought up the main pattern that Dave Emory is using, and Dave Emory is getting it from the major news sources, about the Al-Taqwa organization that was named by George Bush, President Bush, as the main conduit, one of the many, but one of the major conduits. He named it on November 7th, Conduit for Terrorism, and shut it down. Now, the names that come out of this are Ahmad Huber, Youssef Nada, and François Genoux. These are people from the Third Reich in the late 40s when the Nazi Third Reich went underground. François Genoux was in charge of the estates of Goebbels, Bormann, and Hitler, and they linked up with the Algerian Revolution with the Islamo-Fascist Network, which brought in Youssef Nada, who is an Egyptian and a prime member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, what was interesting is I mentioned these people to Mike, and he had never heard of them. Now, these people are mentioned in Newsweek and major articles. Now, it's very interesting in this information overload environment to see that Mike is pointing out a very important pattern of the larger structures of the industrial environment of gold, oil, and drugs.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
But what's interesting is that George Bush singled out a network that comes out of the radio environment, the software environment, which supersedes the old industrial environment, and they're the ones that Bush went after. I've said this was the Freemason Bush faction nailing the Nazi faction.
Right.
And so it's very interesting that Dave Emery highlights this group and points out the historical roots and where they are now and how they link in with the Al-Qaeda. So we have a pattern on the Emery list that is totally different from Mike Rupert's emphasis.
But to add to that, the Financial Times report on the millionaire terrorist fugitive reported on the close connection between the Bin Laden family and King Ibn Saud, who's the founder of Saudi Arabia. That's quote-unquote.
Well, let's remember.
Quote-unquote. So that's quoted and reported by Financial Times that there is a close connection between the Bin Laden family and the founder of Saudi Arabia family. And
well, Lenny, let me just supplement. It's even closer to that. In 1931, the
and the connection with the Third Reich, reports the Financial Times.
Yes, but here's the point, is that the Bin Laden family set up its company in 1931. Saudi Arabia was started in 1932,
mm-hmm.
and the first job the king gave was to build a palace, and he gave it to the Bin Laden family.
Right.
So
right.
The Bin Laden family was there before Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and of course, once again, for all conspiracy researchers of history, there's also the point that it's well documented the connection between Ibn Saud and Alan Dulles. And we know the connection between Dulles, the Third Reich, and that whole connection as laid out by the some great books by the LaRouche Group.
Well, look, you just need to look at John Loftus's book, The Secret History, The Secret War Against the Jews. But the important thing is to understand that Alan Dulles represented the American oil interests. Let's just call them the Rockefellers, but it involves the whole industrial structure that comes out of New York City and Wall Street.
But Bob,
they were against the British and the Rothschild oil structure.
But
so of course Alan Dulles supported the gang that was trying to kick the British out of the Middle East, and therefore double-crossed. And the double-cross gang came out of the Kim Philby family.
Yeah, you know, in the Los Angeles Times, Robert Shearer did an article on May 22nd, Bob, Bush's Faustian deal with the Taliban, and it, to quote it, it says, quote, the U.S. recently donated $43 million to the Taliban, who are sheltering Osama bin Laden, wanted by the United States for, among other things, bombing the destroyer USS Cole during the height of the 2000 presidential campaign. Now, of course, bin Laden is the chief suspect in the attacks of September 11th. So there's a connection between the Third Reich and this terrorism, right?
Okay, now let's go into the P2.
According to the L.A. Times.
Oh, yeah. Dave Emery just quotes anything from newspapers like Mike Rupert. They just emphasize different levels. But let's go into a P2 and Lisa Jelly. Lisa Jelly was the representative in the interface between the Nazi and the Bolshevik faction at the end of the World War II. He was a double agent.
Now, Bob, don't you want some calls on this stuff?
Yeah, we will, but here's the point. Licio Gelli and the P2 set up Silvio Berlusconi, the present Prime Minister of Italy. Berlusconi worked with the Al-Qaeda network and funded the princes that funded the Al-Taqwa Islamo-Fascist network in August, just before September 11th. So you have the P2 Nazi Bolshevik network intertwined through Italy, and the P2 and the Vatican intervolved with the Saudi Arabian network.
Woo! And all on the public record, Bob.
All on the public record. And guess who attended the meeting? Who joined in on the meeting of the Saudi Arabian and the P2 gang? Neil Bush.
Oh, there you go, Bob. What I just would like to just bring to your attention that Emery talks about under the heading the Penn Jones death list, J.H. Hadfield, the author of Fortunate Son, The Making of an American President, and that book is The Fortunate Son, J.H. Hadfield, St. Martin's Press, copyright 2000. Emery speculates that Hadfield may have been eliminated in order to further obscure the Bush bin Laden connection, perhaps in anticipation of the 9/11 accident. He died from what police report as an apparent drug overdose. So I think it's pretty sharp of Emery to be right on the ball there with that stuff.
Well, Dave Emery is a long-time student of Mae Bethel, an expert in her own right, and Dave learned well. I want to bring something in that I've wanted to say for 2 hours. New news, and we may not get a chance in the next 15 minutes. So here's the point. The job was done. The crime was created. We're going to war, as Mike Rupert showed us. We've got to prepare, as I said since last September, for what the world looks like after the smoke clears. And we don't know how long the smoke is going to be there, how long the Iraqi war is going to be, but here is the factors that no one knows about. The first factor is that there's a device being developed here on the planet that's going to alter and distort our perception, our body's perception of time. That's the first device. The second device, which we have mentioned, and there is an internet source that you can get to if it's not blocked, called Tetra. That device is going to use control the minds of populations around the world as the riots start that Rupert and Skolnick have warned about, and the war goes into the other part of Saudi Arabia after Iraq. There'll be all kinds of riots all over the world. The Tetra device will be used to program people, to zombify them. So watch the effects of that.
And that's been reported in Britain already by a number of research groups and news media on the zombification of Britain based on 10,000 transmitters in the underground subway in Britain that alters the calcium component of the brain at a certain frequency, correct?
Exactly.
And this all came out of the HEART project, and we've talked about the men who were involved in that already weeks ago. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
All right. So, no, that's the second device. So the first device is actually an experiment being done very secretly, hijacking the SETI observation. SETI is a structure set up on this planet to wait for signals from extraterrestrial or whatever life is out there. But there's a secret group that is using that technology to experiment with time and matter. There'll be effects of that on us. The second device is a Tetra device. The third device is the mystery device. Right now, as I talked about in the last show, at 11:07 in the AM and the PM zone, there is a window. And something is coming through that window that is affecting the whole Earth grid. We don't know now yet where that is. My theory is that the synergistic effect of our media has created a double, just like if you have a mystical vision and go to the center of the universe, you might see yourself. Well, we've created a matrix that's a double, and that double is merging with our reality. This has never been said before. We don't fully understand the effects of this, but I'm telling you, any time a wave comes through, and the last one was August 7th, the whole world population starts moving. People want to move. They get restless. They move around in geography. The point is, watch for these waves. I'll keep you up on when the waves come. So we're talking three levels of energy that are new that are going to be part of the smoke screen. Tetra, the matter-time warping, where when you begin to feel your body distortion, like you're on a drug, that'll be the second device. And then this mystery force is zapping us right now.
Sounds like Herbert Armstrong office, Bob. Many shall go running to and fro.
No, that's already happened. The point is this pulsing is coming in and people are forced to adjust. At this point, we see it as a positive force. It's already happened. Yeah, it's already, what happened on August 7th was the last time. This pulsing, it takes this window at 7:30 before 11, twice a day. This thing may be a positive force. So if you're feeling tired or weird, strange energies, it's your body adjusting to this force.
What time was that? That was at 7:30 before the 11?
Before 11 o'clock. In the AM and the PM.
Shortly, Bob.
Beg your pardon?
It's coming up shortly now.
Yes. We're right at it now, aren't we?
Sleeper, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Lenny, Bob, Deep Throat. How are you guys doing well tonight?
What's happening in cyberspace?
I've been on chat for the duration of the show, or the whole show, and someone picked up on the first things Bob said is there's no out there. Right? Should not think of the radio land as out there. And when we started talking about the war and going to Iraq, someone in chat said, well, that means there's no over there. So I said, okay, I'll he's asking me to answer this, could you, Sleeper? And I said, I'll get it put on the show for you.
That's right, we'll get it to Bob.
About 2 minutes later, Bob started talking about there are no peoples, there are no nations. And he said, there's no over there. And so immediately, the people in chat said, wow, Sleeper, thanks, man. That was really cool. You got that answered in like 30 seconds, man. That's really neat. So
we had a good laugh here because you know, I managed to take credit for, you know, having the question answered. But
was that the Android meme, Bob?
Well, I think it's another reward for being connected to the show and resonating with Bob and the rest of the world that it got answered for me, and I got to take the credit.
Yeah, no, that's an irony, and the supplement to that is that over there is the old hardware world.
Right.
And that's what I was talking about. And yes, the effects are on the whole world and the software level.
Right. So the other thing did this weekend, because I've mentioned ways to combat the way the media and everything barrages us and takes over our minds.
There's a really good report that the barrage and how it hasn't been, there's interesting stuff that hasn't been reported, like that's interesting. That is, given that 9/11 is coming up and they're going to be bombarding everybody with their version, the allegedly suspicious insider trading in the stocks of the parent companies of United Airlines and American Airlines in the days immediately preceding the attack are discussed in a San Francisco Chronicle article of September 18, 2001, and the activity in the trading of United stock was 25 times its normal level, according to Options Clearinghouse Corporations. Now, what's not reported, and we should be interesting to find out, two online brokerage companies are assisting in the investigation, reports the San Francisco Chronicle, and one of those online brokerage companies is TD Waterhouse. So we should, Bob, find out what they, that's a Canadian group, find out what's happening with that investigation.
Yes, we also should look into the murder of Marsh McLuhan.
You know, that's a good one, and that's a whole show, but we've only got a couple of minutes.
Dig out the autopsy.
Time for some final thoughts.
Well, yeah, let me throw out my experience this weekend, because people might find it interesting. We do an island retreat within all my computer network contacts, and what we do is we go off the grid, get about 400 computers in the same room, shut off the outside electronic grid, open up our hard drives, share information. It's a big exchange. We just do all that, but we keep it, we do it contained on our own little island, right, physical network. And it's a great experience to come back after a high-intensity weekend like that, plug back into the main grid, and see it a little differently. And that's, we find that really beneficial.
Well, Sleeper, you're plugging into the cloned ESP environment that we're in right now, and when you guys disconnect, that's the voluntary ESP environment, and it's the interplay between disconnecting and interacting with the cloned ESP that creates the Xenocony experience, which is not synchronicity. That's only an accomplice of the cloned ESP, which we're part of now.
And we feel our Xenocony levels increased when we come back.
That's right.
What we saw tonight.
Exactly.
I got back just a few hours ago, and it's happening already.
Right, because you're bringing in your separate factor that you artificially created out there back in to interact with this situation where there is no separateness.
Right.
Well, we're all together on that one, and we're all here in the service of Bob and Lenny. This has been a pleasure. My name is Deep Throat. You have been listening to Cloak & Dagger on Mojo Radio, AM 640. Agent 33, do you have any parting words for us? How was your night?
It was awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I haven't had you yet, but thank you for coming, and it's been a wonderful show. Any last words from you, Lenny?
I just think, Bob, I think you've done a great job joining top-down education and entertainment. It's a very difficult thing to do.
We've got to thank Mike Rupert. We've got to thank Nick and Scott here in the studio. And, of course, Bob, the last word is yours.
Don't eat anything.